From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Well, my friends, it is exciting to know that just 7 days from now will be the big event here in Asheville, North Carolina. If you've been living in a cave and you haven't heard, well, on August the 27th at 5 p.m. at the Diana Wortham Theater, George Norrie is going to be hosting his event. George Norrie and friends living it up in Asheville. And I'll be there. Micah Hanks will be there. Dr. Bill Forsten will be there. We have a lot of cool surprises in store. And, of course, you have heard George Norrie countless times as the host of Coast to Coast AM right here on this station. It airs every night starting at 1 a.m., and that show has been produced for many years by Tom Danheiser. And I have had the privilege of interviewing George on a couple of occasions, but never Tom, because he is a super busy guy. And so I am honored that he has taken some time to chat with me tonight. Tom Danheiser, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Joshua, how are you? And I got to tell you, I have not been living under a cave, in a cave, or by a cave, and I cannot wait for a week from this Saturday.
Well, you know, Tom, and I must say this right up front, one of the reasons that I've always admired you is that you are capable of producing anything. You have produced radio shows, TV shows, live events, and all of them are top-notch, top quality. What led you into this profession of being a producer of so many multimedia?
Well, I got to tell you, when I enrolled in college, I really wanted to be like the next, like Rush Limbaugh or a talk show big time host or somebody who plays music, just somebody, you know, out there. And I had a big band show for a while. And as I was going through my broadcasting school and so forth, I realized that when you're the main guy on the air, program directors come in, the people that pick the shows for the radio stations, and you know, they kind of look at numbers, and so your career lives and dies by numbers. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, well, but wouldn't it be cool if you worked behind the scenes, because they always have to have those people to make whatever show it is happen. And so as I kept doing my big band radio show, which was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, I got into some other things that were behind the scene and producing, and then I eventually got a job in the industry, and it kind of sprang from there.
And now, have you produced a lot of events as big as the one that's going to happen here next weekend?
I have a production company that puts on these events. George Norrie Live is what we call them, and then we name them like Living It Up in Asheville or, you know, wherever we are. And we've done Toronto 4 years in a row. We've done Vancouver 3 times. We've done Boise, Idaho, which you were at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just keep plugging along, and every year it seems like we're visiting more and more markets where Coast to Coast is in. And people seem to like it. It seems to be something different. A few years ago, I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great to bring the radio to stage? And that's how it evolved. And it seems like it's something different that not a lot of people see in cities.
Oh, yeah. And of course, I think you and George are going to be amazed by the wall of love that you experience here in Asheville. I know that George has never been to Asheville before. Is this going to be your first time also?
Very much so, and I hear nothing but great things about that city from, like, everybody I talk to.
So if someone is tuning in tonight who really doesn't know much about what is going to happen on August 27th, go ahead, fill them in, tell them what they need to know in order to come out and really understand what you have planned and how they can be a part of it.
Well, if you are it depends. You're throwing a question at me that I don't know if they're a listener or not. But, I mean, if they have no idea, they're just someone who have never even turned on a radio.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to get is they're going to walk into an experience almost like the theater on a Saturday night, and they're going to sit down in what looks like a lovely theater. I'm sure you've been there many times.
Yes.
But it looks like a lovely theater. And we're going to play a little video, and we're going to play some music, and then George is going to sing a few songs. He'll talk with people. We'll take questions with people during the interviews, and he's going to interview each of you separately, you and Micah Hanks and also Bill Forstchen. And so we just kind of put together this three-hour show. When they enter, the first thing they're going to see, thanks to you, is this little piece of possible craft, yes?
Yeah, some UFO, well, some kind of debris that we believe came from a UFO that was recovered from near the Roswell crash site.
Yeah, that's, like, really exciting. So the first thing when you walk through the door, that's what you're going to see. And the night is just going to be electric. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're just going to see people that you wouldn't normally see on stage, or maybe you would, but in a different setting. You know, it's like a living room. It's very comfortable, and it's like watching the radio show, honestly.
So now, all these, and of course, we'll make sure that we get the specific information out there soon, including website links and all that. But first, let me just ask you, you know, Tom, after all these years of working with strange phenomena in one way or another, have there been times where you have seen something or experienced something personally that made you say, okay, the paranormal is real. This is something spooky. This is something odd. I mean, you've come into contact with a lot of content. Anything stand out in your mind?
There's a few things that stand out in my mind, but I have to tell you, it's more about what I've heard or what I've seen from other people than what I've witnessed. And I'll give you an example. We hear many things when people call this show, and, you know, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt, and you just search your soul, I guess, and you either believe it or you don't. But I will never, ever forget a gentleman that called in, and he had been incarcerated for something. And as they brought in the new prisoners, they brought in this guy who was in there for child molesting. And he said that when they put this guy in a cell, he just started convulsing, and then he like slammed back to if you can picture a piece of pole coming out of the wall, like in the old time jails. And he just went through this, his head went through this pole and he died. And the point of the man's story was that he thinks that karma was coming back to this guy for hurting children. And when you listen to someone tell a story like that, you can get an idea if people really believe what they're saying or if they're, you know, just calling a radio show just to be on it. And this guy, it kept with me. It stuck with me because I think he was very serious. And so different things like that have happened with the show throughout the years are what really makes me believe in certain things.
Well, you have screened thousands of calls from all over the world for many, many years. I guess that by now, being a judge of character is just like a sixth sense. It must be an instinct that you develop, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty easy sometimes. I mean, you know, like I said, you know if people are like really serious or if they're like just rushing to get on the radio because they want to be some sort of, you know, star on the radio. And, you know, with this show, you don't need to do that because it's all about people's stories and about people, you know, having time to say what they want. So, but yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I can kind of tell.
Well, considering that, you know, you and George are the ultimate judges of what actually makes it onto the air and what millions of people hear and how they form opinions, have you ever felt like that you've been intimidated by some, you know, men in black or some sinister characters out there that have tried to sort of persuade you to handle a subject in a certain way?
Never. And in fact, I'll go one step farther. I've had people who I chose not to put on the air for whatever reason get back through and like curse me and condemn me. And I'm coming down there right now, and, you know, it's just silly. And no, it doesn't.
That is one of the wonderful things about this country. I tell people that, you know, I've been doing radio for a long time, and we really do have freedom of speech here. And that's one of the things that makes Coast to Coast AM so exciting, especially when those open lines light up. I mean, you just don't quite know exactly what to expect. And that makes the whole thing, you know, sort of a spontaneous grab bag. And so, of all these things that you've heard about, if someone came to you and said, Tom, you know about all the great mysteries of the universe, I'm going to give you an unlimited budget to thoroughly investigate one of these, what comes to mind?
Probably the first place I would go to is probably Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Fascinates me. Just, it drives me crazy thinking about how that stuff was done. Even, and better yet, Coral Castle, I'll stay right in the United States. How did he do that? How did Edley Scallion do that? And, you know, it's just really fascinating. I would go to the Lizzie Borden house, which I haven't gone yet, but that's on my, quote, bucket list. So there's a bunch of places. And now, I'm looking very much forward to going to your museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's in there?
You're going to enjoy it. It's one of a kind. And yeah, I look forward to showing you around and telling you, you know, some of the stories behind these things. But also, I have so much cool stuff that a lot of it doesn't get displayed all the time. And so I'll show you some of the things behind the scenes as well.
That's even better.
Now, you know, your whole life is just inundated with subject matter that a lot of people would consider, you know, spooky at very least. When you go home at the end of the night and, you know, you turn out the lights, do you ever get a little creeped out and think maybe, you know, you've invited something into your life, some spooky ghost or something like that?
Josh, I got to tell you, when I go home, I go to sleep. I am, I approach the paranormal and things such as that, is that I 100% believe that evil is out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that if you have a strong mind, that it cannot get to you.
Yeah.
And you know, so I don't choose to let myself open for evil to come to me. Now, you know, bad things happen to me just like everybody in life. You have problems in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what life is, you know, problems and not problems. But I don't choose to, you know, open that up to where evil could come get me. So, no, I don't fear it.
Yeah, I have a very similar philosophy, which is why when I go to some of these places like Dracula's Castle in Romania and all that, I tend to stay safe afterward. Not everybody has that experience, but I haven't had too many things following me back home. And now when it comes to all these different things that you produce, again, TV shows, live events, radio, do you have a favorite? Or, you know, if you had to pick one of those to do all the time, which direction do you think you'd go?
Oh, which medium?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would stay where I started in life in radio. I think that there's nothing better than theater of the mind. When you turn on, and I'll use Coast to Coast as an example, when you turn that on a Friday night and you're listening to people tell us all kinds of stories, I mean, your imagination just goes, and there's nothing like letting your imagination just run.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I tell you what, Tom, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to give you an opportunity just to make sure everybody knows exactly what they can do to come here on August the 27th and enjoy this event. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.
I'm back! Get up off of that thing! Clap and dance to do beauty!
Yes, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. It's called Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, wrapping up a conversation right now with Tom Danheiser. He is the producer of Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And, of course, next Saturday, August the 27th, George Norrie is putting on one heck of a spectacular show at the Diana Wortham Theater. And let me just tell everybody here, honestly, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience to have George Norrie, me, Dr. Bill Forstchen, Micah Hanks, all together there in one big room with some of the surprises that we have in store.
Yes, indeed.
And
yes,
and we do have some. And I said earlier, Tom, if George is a little too freaked out by one of the things that he experiences on stage, I'm passing the blame on to you.
Absolutely, 100%. I tell him all the time, just be ready.
Yeah.
I tell him what I want to do. But I got to tell you something real quick. Of the interviews that I do, none of them have as cool a music as you. It's kind of neat to be bopping and listening to your coming back music, because usually I'm on the other side of it. We're playing it for people. So cool.
Well, thank you very much. I figure these shows that run late at night need to keep people awake.
Yes.
So not going to be playing, you know, Brahms or that kind of music. But, no, that's cool. And I can imagine with your experience the perspective that you have when listening to another show. And gosh, these days with the internet, it seems like everybody out there has some kind of little show, though, a podcast or something. And we're fortunate that we've got these airwaves here at News Radio 570. So, okay, well, let's go. I know you're a busy man. It never ends for you. And I know you have a lot to do tonight. So let's go ahead and tell everybody one more time what they need to do to get one of these coveted tickets before they sell out. And I'm sure they will. To the big event next Saturday.
And before I jump here, I just wanted to thank you for giving me the opportunity to pop on with you. You're one of the greatest guys I know, honestly, and I really mean that. And you do such cool stuff. And I mean, every time I see you when we're doing a project or something, you don't sleep. Like, we're all done, and everybody's like, okay, I'll see you later, see you tomorrow. And like, where's Josh? Oh, he just drove over to wherever. I mean, you never sleep.
Yeah, well, that's true, and it's catching up with me, I tell you that. I'm not getting any younger, but I figure when you have access to some of these amazing phenomena, you have to strike while the iron is hot, and especially when I travel around and I get to check out all these new places that most people never get to see. But thank you for those kind words, and I also want to officially thank you here on the air, because over the years, you and George have been so generous and wonderful. We've become good friends in addition to our on-air relationship, and I really appreciate the freedom and flexibility and that you give me to come on and talk about this unusual cornucopia of things. And also, there's a lot of trust that you have there, knowing that when I get on the radio, I'm not going to just go bonkers.
You know what? I think it's mutual. We kind of trust each other, and you are one of the easiest people for me to book on this show. So thank you as well. But if folks want to go to the show, it's a week from today on Saturday night, and you can go to dwtheater.com. Now, theater is spelled R-E, not the traditional E-R. And there's a little button right there. You just hit it. It says buy tickets, and then you can actually you can either have the machine spit out the best ones that are available left, which aren't much because it is going fast. The tickets are going fast. Or you can actually go to the little map and X off where you would like to sit. And it's a real convenient, easy website. Or if you don't want to use the computer, you can always dial. You got the number there, Josh?
I do. Yeah, the toll-free number to call the Diana Wortham Theater and reserve your tickets is 800-513-7540. And I'll repeat that, 800-513-7540. Again, that website is dwtheater.com. And as Tom said, theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E as opposed to E-R. So,
now, Josh, I want to ask you something before I go. Do you have, and I'm going to leave it at this, but do you have our little friend ready to join us on the couch there on stage?
Oh, I do. And it's kind of funny because when I was out of town, I made arrangements to have this thing shipped to my mom's house, and I didn't tell her what it was. So, yeah, my mom had quite an interesting night when she decided to open, because I tell my mom, if people send me packages, feel free to open them. And so, saves me.
Open that stuff.
Yeah. So she opened that one, and, she called me and had a lot of questions about what to do next with this thing. So, yeah. And she's going to be there, for the event, as well as my sister Jessica, and they're going to have a blast. But I'm so delighted that, you guys have decided to bring this show to Asheville for the first time. Again, you're going to receive a lot of love from this area. And it's just going to be an all-around positive, fun event. So thank you so much for bringing the event to Asheville, and thanks so much for being on Speaking of Strange tonight.
Josh, thank you for having me, and thank you to your wonderful audience. And maybe some of them cross over and listen to Coast. So thank you, guys, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, folks, that's Tom Danheiser, producer of Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And again, the event is next Saturday, August the 27th, 2016. It starts at 5 p.m. And this is at the Diana Wortham Theater right there at Pack Square in downtown Asheville. Yeah, this is going to be a, it's going to be one of those things that you don't want to miss, because if you're not there, you're going to hear all the stories from people who were there, and you're going to say, man, why didn't I take advantage of this? And it's just a beautiful time of year to come to Asheville anyway. I mean, here we are. We're just about to slip into the fall. The weather's great. There are so many bars and restaurants and street performers. And it's just, you know, there's just a lot to do here. And if you come into town just for this event and you decide you want to expand your experience and do some other fun things, well, obviously, we hope that you'll visit Wright's Coin Shop. We hope that you will take one of the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. But about 45 minutes or so down the road is Brown Mountain, site of the mysterious Brown Mountain Lights.
Where exactly is that?
Brown Mountain is near Morganton, North Carolina. It's in the Pisgah National Forest on the borders of, or on the border of Burke and Caldwell counties.
So, like, how do you get up there?
You take the Morganton exit, and then you drive.
Was it off of 40?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you drive north on 181, and I believe it's at mile marker 20 on the right. You'll find the Brown Mountain Lights Overlook, where they, I think they have a plaque there. Yeah, they've got a plaque there now. They didn't used to. There are two or three places that you can view Brown Mountain from, but that's the easiest one to get to, because when you get to that overlook, I mean, there is just a big low-lying ridge right there directly in front of you, and that's Brown Mountain.
What are those lights in the background?
You have lights from Lenore.
Okay.
You have lights from, you can see some of the lights from Morganton there.
Hickory.
Probably, yeah. And so it does help to know what you're looking for, because I have seen people stand there and look straight at obvious city lights or airplanes and say, those are the Brown Mountain Lights, and they get really excited. But, no, the Brown Mountain Lights, when they appear, they're very, very bright. They're distinctive.
Very quick, it seems like.
Usually.
Like quarks or something.
Well, sometimes they can just last a few seconds. I've seen them last up to a minute. And in fact, if you go right now to joshuapwarren.com and scroll down the homepage, you will see some images of the Brown Mountain Lights that were captured by my team and I over the years. As a matter of fact, in 2000, Brian Irish, our imaging specialist at the time, was the very first person to capture good video footage of the lights. And I will tell you, on our very first trip up there, when we got lights, I do think that some of the lights that we got were four-wheelers, okay? And we, later we went back and we were able to rule those out. But there are some other lights that are obviously not four-wheeler lights, and those are some of the lights that you see if you go to joshuapwarren.com. So another thing I'll point out, because we're coming up on our break, I was up there one night with Brian Irish and Casey Fox, and we were camping. We got a permit to camp, and I looked over, and I saw this big, huge, bright, ball of light in the woods a short distance away, and it just ascended. It just floated right up into the sky, and we videotaped it, and it was strobing, and it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. But there's some new information about the Brown Mountain Lights, and when we come back, we'll talk more about some of our stories and experiences, and also what makes this area such a mysterious vortex of paranormal activity. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange, going out to high strangers around the globe. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number again to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. And let me also repeat now, if you are interested in getting tickets to come see the big show next Saturday and you're not online, well, here is the phone number you can call. The Diana Wortham Theater, toll-free, 800-513-7540, 800-513-7540. It's so convenient. It's just right there at Pack Square and Pack Place, right in the middle of everything in downtown Asheville, next to the Vance Monument. And it's a really nice theater if you've never been there. So, I was just saying, some people who have never been into the area, who are coming in just for the show, might want to make a trip to Brown Mountain, where the Brown Mountain Lights are seen. And if you don't know what the Brown Mountain Lights are these odd multicolored balls of light that have been seen floating on and around this ridge in the middle of the Pisgah National Forest for at least 100 years, based upon journalistic accounts, and possibly hundreds of years based upon Native American legends and pioneer stories. And investigator Shelley Wright, you, as a member of LEMUR, have done a lot of work up there with us at Brown Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And you were one of the people featured with us on the National Geographic Channel.
Right.
Paranatural, which I don't know what year that was, maybe 2010 or something like that. But they did a really good job of showcasing our efforts up there investigating the lights.
They did.
I also wrote a booklet called Brown Mountain Lights, a Viewing Guide. And if you go right now to joshuapwarren.com and scroll down the homepage, you can download a free PDF of that booklet, which gives you all the basic information on the lights, some theories, as well as info on how you can look for them. And I just want to point out that all these years that folks like myself have been out there investigating this phenomenon, the media has had a tendency to pit me against Dr. Daniel Caton of Appalachian State University. And Dr. Caton always presented himself as the skeptical voice of science. And he, for the longest time, has said that he didn't think that there was a phenomenon, basically. And then he said, well, maybe there's something like ball lightning going on. And but he's all these years, he has been sort of the antagonist when it comes to people who are having real experiences up there. And being with Appalachian State University, he was finally able to arrange to get some cameras up there focused on the mountain, two cameras from two different perspectives. And those cameras have been running for quite a while now. And he claimed that he never got anything until just recently. Finally, both of these captures, these cameras captured a big ball of light hovering over Brown Mountain. And so Dr. Caton talked to the Charlotte Observer and some radio stations, and he has said, okay, I finally admit that this is some kind of a true strange phenomenon, all right? And so now, of course, people are excited because now that he said that, well, you know, suddenly it's official. And I've had him on this show and interviewed him on the show, and he and I have participated in symposiums together and that kind of thing. And I just want to tell everybody very blatantly and truthfully that I understand, as a professor of astronomy, that Dr. Caton was rightfully reserved and skeptical in his opinion, as a scientist should be. But the fact of the matter is, over all these years, he has also had a very condescending and arrogant demeanor toward people in the community who have seen these strange lights. And again, I understand having his position on things, but I have always thought that the sort of, you know, snide way that he was dismissing a lot of these reports was often just inappropriate, in my opinion. And so now that he has admitted that finally, scientifically, they have documented that there is something there, I believe Dr. Caton owes an apology to the community for his demeanor. And I think that if he actually did that, it would set a really good model for the relationship between educational facilities like App State, which is taxpayer funded, and again, regular people in the community working together, cooperating on this process of discovery. So I hope that he will do that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of people have not come forth and properly told their experiences because they've been afraid of feeling ridiculed. And even if scientifically there's no good reason, no good evidence to believe somebody's story, I still think that you need to treat people with respect when they come forth and have an experience. And that's how discoveries are made. So we'll see how that turns out. But the good news is now we can all agree there's something out there. And so it's, and now that he has said there's documentation for it that he feels is credible, perhaps there will now be some funding, some grants or something that finally get, you know, out there for some more in-depth research on what exactly this is. But, you know, we were talking off air, Shelley, about the fact that, you know, there have been numerous occasions when I and my colleagues have seen a light. But I think that the most impressive story I ever documented was about a man who said he touched one of them. Because it's one thing to see a light and not know what you're looking at, but he had about as close of an encounter as you can ask for. The man, he's no longer with us. He passed away some years ago, but his name was Tommy Hunter, and I've talked about him at various conferences over the years. In fact, I did a program, I guess it was earlier this year, in Scottsdale, Arizona. It was the International UFO Congress there. And I talked about this, but basically Tommy Hunter was, he was a local guy, never had any particular interest in strange things. He didn't, you know, work as an author or in the field of the paranormal or anything like that. And he was up at the Overlook one night with a group of friends. I believe there were about 9 witnesses to what happened. And I'm thinking this is maybe like 1983. I don't have my notes in front of me. But he at one point said the entire group of people gasped because they looked over and they saw this ball of light, a little larger than a basketball, hovering about 3 feet over the ground. And it was one of those things where everybody went that way away from the light except for him, and he went the other way toward the light. Makes you wonder if you're in that situation, if you know which group you would have been in. But he walked up to the light, and everybody's screaming at him saying, "Get away from that thing, right?" And he reached out and he touched it. And he said when he touched it, it gave him a powerful electrical shock. It rattled his teeth. And the witnesses that I talked to said that they think it may have almost knocked him out for a second, because he didn't report perceiving it that way. But everybody else said it looked like he fell back and almost like lost consciousness and then regained his, his stability. But the light itself did not discharge or disperse. It remained. They said it dimmed a little bit when he touched it, as if maybe some of the energy had been drained off into his body. But it persisted. And then after that, the light, it kind of meandered down into the valley below the overlook. And I think they even said it was joined by a second light at some point. Now, one of the really weird things about this is that a lot of people who have those close encounters say that they get the feeling, the impression that these lights are conscious in some way. So we're coming up on a break here, but how do you feel about that, Shelley?
I think that's incredible. I just, and that sounds like it was a prolonged experience. Mm-hmm. You know, you were saying that, you know, sometimes, you know, to last up to a minute. Sounds like it happened a lot longer than a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. It was sticking around for a while. And, you know, the funny thing is when that kind of incident happens, and there have been a number of incidents that are similar, it makes it clear that this is not an optical illusion.
No.
And I mean, you know, when Dr. Caton was using his cameras, the cool thing is he had two cameras from two different points of view. And for years, he has been watching airplanes and stars and planets and, you know, all the normal stuff. And he said that makes it very clear that this light is none of those things.
Before the cameras, he hadn't actually been to Brown Mountain, had he?
Well, he'd been there, but he'd never seen anything.
He never
unusual.
Did the kind of in-depth research that you did. You camped out, you stayed. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you were always there.
Yeah, as soon as I turned 16 years old, I mean, I was up there camping out, getting permits from the Forest Service, bringing all kinds of different scientists up there, and documenting things.
This was before there was even like a real road. I mean, you'd have down trees and have
yeah.
to...
Yeah, we'd bring a chainsaw to clear the roads. And I mean, it was hard work and some cold nights freezing our butts off up there in late November in a tent. I mean, you know...
It was a labor of love.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah.
So I feel good that the work that we did has now been acknowledged in some degree as being related to something that we told you was real.
We told you so.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you one of my funniest stories about Brown Mountain, and I think Shelley knows this one.
I do.
I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Collect is on. The soldier's bailing out. He curled his lips on the bow. And I don't know if the dead can't talk.
And we are wrapping up hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and keep in mind, next hour is what we call the Dark 30 Hour, and that is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news stories, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, okay? So you may or may not want to stick around for the next hour of the show, depending on whether or not that kind of content is your cup of tea, and that's why we save it for late at night. So wrapping up the Brown Mountain topic for now, I wanted to mention that, well, I have a couple of friends named Bill and Bob who are scientists from up north, and they like to come down every year to North Carolina and go to Brown Mountain and try to capture the lights. And they've had great success doing so. And one year, I think it was in June, the two went up there and a big bright light appeared over Table Rock, because the lights are not just around Brown Mountain. They're actually all around the Linville area. You could more accurately call them the Linville lights. So knowing them and knowing the quality of their work, we decided, hey, let's go up there and figure out exactly where this light appeared, because they were across the Linville Gorge when they took all these pictures showing this light. So we had an idea. It seemed like a super simple way of pinpointing this light. We figured what we'd do is have Forrest Connor stand on the edge of the Linville Gorge with a green laser. And he would have the photograph with the light. And all he would do is use the photo as a reference and shoot his laser pointer across the Linville Gorge, which is like a mini Grand Canyon, to the site where the light was, and then I would have a small team of people on the other side, including investigator Shelley Wright, and all we'd have to do was just figure out where the laser was pointing, and we would know.
Easy peasy, right?
Yeah. So we get over there on a dark night. Forrest is shooting this laser, and we have no idea where this laser is hitting. We see the laser shooting across this, like, 2.5 mile canyon, or however long this canyon is. I think it's like 2 miles. We see the laser beam shooting. It was pretty cool looking to see a laser shooting, but we couldn't figure out exactly where it was hitting on the side of the mountain, because when you're standing on that side of the mountain, there are woods all around you, right, Shelley?
Oh, yeah.
And so Shelley Wright and I decided to make it our mission to risk life and limb.
And we really did. I'd never been there in the daytime. I didn't realize I really was risking life and limb, running at night through the woods.
Mm-hmm. So we go tearing off on the side of this mountain at night.
Literally.
With sheer rock faces, without any ropes or rappelling equipment or anything.
Can't see a thing.
I mean, it was really nuts, frankly, to do this, but we got determined, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And we were like, by God, we're going to find where that laser is hitting. And they had a number of different photographs with different lights. And so we ended up going down trails and
making trails.
Yeah, making trails and tripping over vines. And this went on for hours.
It did go on for hours, but we were determined.
Yeah.
And then we realized, oh, that light.
So, yeah, finally, we come up on a site, and holy cow, the laser beam hits me right in the chest.
Yes.
And it was, like, so exciting. We were just jumping for joy. You'd think that Shelley and I had just hit the lotto. Mm. And then I looked over, and I was surprised to see a tent there. And I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, some secluded campsite. And this particular picture may have been showing a campfire. But at that point, the tent unzips, and this, like, half-naked guy comes stumbling out, rubbing his eyes, and
better that than something else.
Yeah. So we figure, how are we going to explain what's going on? And the guy says, like, hey, what's happening here? And I said, well, we're scouting out some areas for a TV show. I'm kind of half making up some and so I said to him, let me just ask you something, sir. Since you've been camping here, have you seen any strange or mysterious lights? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. He goes, for the past few hours, there's been this, like, weird green light outside my tent. And I realized what had happened, and I didn't have the guts to explain to this guy, oh, for the past 2 hours, there's an a-hole on the other side of the gorge who's been pinpointing your tent with a laser beam. So I was just like, fascinating. We'll make a note of that. And then we then we left the scene. And that guy to this day probably thinks that he's witnessed some kind of bizarre...
The Green Mountain Lights.
Yep.
But if he's listening, no, it was Forrest Connor with a laser pointer, and you'd never have guessed that how that was going to come together. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, it will be time for the notorious, the infamous, the beloved in some circles, Dark 30 Hour. I am Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402, and this show is called Speaking of Strange.